Stomach Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. How was your massage today?
It was fantastic.
So glad you enjoyed it.
80 minutes elixir massage at my friend's. I can't pronounce the name of it. It's at the Veritas in Green Hills. You were the one that told me go on Groupon and get the coupon, and I went on Groupon. I got the coupon. I've done the 280-minute elixir massages. I may have to do one every week.
Groupon is the place to go for massages.
I may have to. Now
some
we
great you know, deals on there.
Don't want to get free shout-outs around here, but, I mean, my goodness, it was. I mean, the massage is just out of this world. So it's feeling good, and then now I'm feeling bad because, you know, Caroline, just, you know, just
I know. I just bring your mood down
every time.
I'm so sorry about that.
Ian, how are we doing today?
Doing fine, thank you.
All right, I want to start on this. We got a loaded show. Chris Sanders today, Fitz today, Jared versus Joe. So, I want to start on this. Sometimes you can see growth. I'm not a big celebration person. And I know that probably sounds crazy to a lot of people. Like, I don't mind throwing a party. But, like, the idea of sitting there and basking in, like, oh, man, this is just so great right now. I'm so proud of it. I do that for other people. I'm not sure I really care about that, like for anything that I achieve. But sometimes you see others' growth, and you just get so excited when you see that growth. It's like, wow, 6 months ago, you could barely string together two sentences, and now you are a Rhodes Scholar. And every time, you get a little taken aback. I need to give a congratulations to the Tennessee Titans fans, because their team just beat the best team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. Now, people will tell me they're not the undefeated Arizona Cardinals, Jared. And that may be fair. But going into Monday night's game, the Buffalo Bills, by every power ranking, Pro Football Talk, ESPN, The Athletic, they were number one. They had the number one ranked scoring offense and the number one ranked scoring defense. And the Titans played their kind of game, and ended up winning. The number three ranked rushing defense in the NFL got 150 yards and three touchdowns from Derrick Henry. And Ian, we've seen this script far too many times. Titans win a game like that, and people think they're on to the Super Bowl.
So we've seen that before, yes?
Oh, yes, we have. In fact, last year's game, Titans had beaten three bad teams at the wire. Denver, bad, one on a field goal. Jacksonville, bad, one on a Harold Landry interception at the end of the game. Minnesota, bad, one on a field goal at the end of the game. They were 3-0. They beat Buffalo, kind of fluky, weird Tuesday night COVID game, and I mean, it was on to the Super Bowl we go. People didn't realize that inside that month the Titans would lose to the Bengals, but that's exactly what happened. But it was funny. I didn't get that vibe yesterday. Now, there's always going to be crazies, just like, you know, the people in Caroline's life that think the Vols are going to win 9 games. There are always going to be the crazies who will sit there and say, oh, yeah, wait, why'd you doubt us for a second? Tannehill is better than Aaron Rodgers. Most people don't believe that because everybody knows it's not true. But I didn't feel a lot of crazy yesterday. Now, I felt a lot of, hey, pat everybody on the back. Team win. They're a team. Way to go. I felt a lot of that yesterday, which I had a little bit of an issue with. But I didn't feel a lot of unnecessary fan hype. Now, maybe some of it's because the Kansas City Chiefs are on Sunday. And even though they don't look like the Kansas City Chiefs that we're used to, they are still the Kansas City Chiefs. And they still have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe some of it is because only 2 weeks ago you lost to the Jets. So how could you lose to the Jets and then think you were on your way to the Super Bowl? But I am surprised, truly surprised, and almost heartened. You know, some people are disheartened by things. I am heartened by the fact that it feels like the Titan fans have grown up to realize that the Mike Vrabel team, the Mike Vrabel special, means you're going to win games like this. Now, you're going to lose games like the Jets. And that you look at Baltimore, you look at the Chargers, you look at the Bills, you look at the Chiefs, you look at the Browns, and you think, okay, you know, that everybody is lumped up into one, shake them up in a bag, pull a name out of the hat, there you go. Because that's what I see right now when I see the AFC. Which takes me to my second thing. And that is, this is a question for the fans. And for you, but really the fans. Which is, how happy are you with this win over Buffalo, and what does it mean for you? Does it mean, hey, 4-2, leading the division, a weak division in and of itself? You're clearly in the thick of it in the AFC. You may not be as good as Baltimore or the Chargers, or you honestly may not be as good as Buffalo in general, but you're 4-2, you're the third seed, everybody else 5-1, 4-2, 4-2, 4-2. Or do you look at this as, you know what? I think we have a team. I think we have a team that can compete for all the marbles. And I do wonder that, because there are teams out there that only think about the Super Bowl. And they're entitled to only think about the Super Bowl. Right now, the Baltimore Ravens, they only think about the Super Bowl. If the Ravens make it to the AFC Championship game and lose, then the Ravens are going to look back at themselves and they're going to say, you know what, this was a wasted season. Questions about Lamar. Can Lamar win us a Super Bowl? I don't know. That's going to be part of it. I think another thing, as far as the Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, those teams are concerned. Super Bowl. They've been to the Super Bowl. They've been to the AFC Championship game just like you have. 2 years ago, when Ryan Tannehill turned this thing around as the quarterback of the Titans, we never talked Super Bowl. I mean, we never looked at that team and thought that team could get to the Super Bowl until they beat the Ravens and got into the AFC Championship game. And I remember sitting there in St. Louis. You know, it snowed in Kansas City. It iced over the runways. We couldn't land. So we had to fly into St. Louis, do the radio show on Friday from KMOX, drive from St. Louis, Chase Floyd and I, to Kansas City. And I remember when we were in St. Louis, and I was thinking, like, and Floyd was like, well, you know, I mean, we're good, but, you know, Super Bowl contender. I'm like, what do you mean? There's four teams left. The Titans are one of them. Like, you are legitimately contending for the Super Bowl because the game you are playing in on Sunday is a game for the Super Bowl. So, I mean, as much as we can look at the team and say, well, they got their flaws, I mean, they are truly a Super Bowl contender. Last year, I felt towards the end of the year that the defense was so bad that they were really pretenders. And boy, people got mad at me for that. But I think in reality, you know that that team that lost to the Ravens at home, they weren't going to go to Buffalo and beat the Bills. And even if they did, then they had to go to Kansas City and beat those Chiefs. And they weren't going to do that, not with that defense. So that's, I guess, the question that I have to start the show. And I'm telling you, first of all, congratulations to the Titan fans for not, I don't want to say overreacting to your win against Buffalo. Because there is an element of, you know what? We thought they were the best team in the league. They didn't have any major injuries on Monday night. They weren't overlooking you on Monday night. And you played your game, giving the ball to your beast of a running back, and you won. You know, you had your injuries, you had your issues, but you went toe-to-toe with them fair and square and beat them. So I think that does open my eyes a little bit to some of the things that I've seen against the Jags, the Jets, and the Colts that I'm like, not sure how I feel about that. But I'm not thinking Super Bowl today. I still look at that defense, and I think sometimes they can't get lined up. I still look at that pass rush, and I'm like, it's not enough yet. It's not enough. I look at the wide receivers, and I think, they're getting what they kind of need right now out of A.J. And the other guys are all doing their jobs, the Marcus Johnsons, the Nick Westbrook Akinas, but Julio's hurt, and is he really Julio right now? And can the Derrick Henry running for 150 every game last for forever? And those are all questions that pop through my mind. But again, I want to congratulate the fans because I don't think that they've gotten too over the moon about the Buffalo win. I think they're realistic. Hey, when the Titans play a good game, they can play with people in this league. When the Titans play a bad game, they can lose to the Jags, they can lose to the Jets, they can lose to the Texans, they can lose to the worst teams in the league. You can lose to. And I think that that's something that Floyd really tried to hammer on this show for 5 years about this being the NFL. But I do wonder this. 615-737-1025. After the win of the Bills, do we think, hey, everything this team does, we need to compare to that of a Super Bowl contender, where we need to start worrying about home field advantage, and we need to start thinking about, you know, can they play with this team? You know, that big mistake they made in the second quarter that didn't cost them against a terrible Patriots team, can they afford to make that in a game against the Chargers if they're in Los Angeles in the divisional round of the playoffs? Or do we just take it as one game at a time, look at each game, and just worry about that, and let's see if they can have a good season, and let's still worry about Indianapolis, and let's still worry about the division and making the playoffs? Because I do think that sometimes I get criticized for being too negative. And people say, man, Jared, you are just too negative on the Titans. You're too negative. You're looking at the fact that the defense gave up 30 points and not patting the defense on the rear end for getting their stops inside the red zone. And you may be right. But that's because I look at this team and I think in order to win the Super Bowl, you have to win four of those games. Unless you're the one seed in the AFC, you have to win four of the games like you just won, where you were one inch away from losing. And I'm not taking that away. I'm not doing this. You know, if you take away the 76-yard touchdown run from Derrick Henry, you really didn't have that great of a day. I'm not doing that. You won. Fair and square. Everybody's tried to beat you on the goal line. Didn't work for the Buccaneers. Didn't work for the Chargers. Didn't work for the Patriots. Didn't work for the Ravens. Didn't work for the Jags. Didn't work for the Bills. But you were one inch away from losing. And you've got to win four. Four of those games to win the Super Bowl. And that's why I'm highly critical of the Titans. And I think that that's my question is, do you think we should be highly critical of the Titans? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 if you want to get in as we are rocking and rolling. But that's how we're starting. We'll get Caroline's reaction, Ian's reaction, but the question is now. We did not schedule a parade after beating the number one team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, which was the right call. But now, what is the standard that we think the Titans can play to? 615-737-1025. And what about the rest of the AFC? Yeah, I went to Google the other day, and I put in NFL playoff picture. And NFL.com, you click it, and it tells you today what the playoffs would look like. Right now, Ravens number one. Chargers number two, Titans number three, Bills number four. The Chiefs are out of the playoffs. You'd be hosting a home playoff game against the Raiders. And I would settle today for that out of court right now. Where all you got to do is you win that game, Buffalo wins their game, they go to Baltimore, you go to the Chargers. If the Chargers win their game, which I'm sure they would. I would take it today. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Invigorate Health. That's right. My guys, InvigorateHealthTN.com. I'm going back to Invigorate Health tomorrow. Going to be playing on the ImSculpt Neo machine. Now, it is a very serious machine. It's a $450,000 machine that when you hook up to, they put a paddle right to you, those hard-to-lose fat areas, and that electromagnetic light and that infrared technology just knocks that fat away and helps you build muscle. It's better than working out because it gets the hard to get rid of areas. But they've got everything for you. In fact, I got my blood work done last week. So this week, I'm going to be able to go and see my levels. And every man after the age of 30, on average, loses 1% of their testosterone every year. So I'm going to see what those levels are like. And then you can decide for yourself what's best for you. They've got tons of great treatment, like IV therapies. You know, somebody told me you hit a bag of that IV and it'll make you feel like $1 million. And so they can come to you as far as the IV therapies are done. They've got hormone replacement therapies, you know, the therapies that are for your vitality. Look, if you feel old and you feel weak and you feel tired and you feel sore and you feel the way you don't want to feel anymore, go talk to my friends at Invigorate Health. Feel young again. InvigorateHealthTN.com. Those are my friends. Invigorate Health again. InvigorateHealthTN.com.
Coming off a win like you had over the Bills going against this team, does that make it like one of those kind of like GPS or see where we're at type of games? You just mentioned, you know, the importance of coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think you always have to try to, you know, every week validate what you do and what you've done and try to get going on some consistency. And I think that starts with preparation and understanding who you're playing. There are some similarities, you know, I mean, certainly with the quarterbacks and the way that they can extend plays and their talent and how they play the game.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about. It's weird because I got to give TD some credit with how he asked that question. Does that give you kind of like a GPS feel? Yeah, you know, it kind of validates. Remember last week, this wasn't a measuring stick game. That's what he said, Vrabel. Mm-hmm. No, not a measuring stick game. It's not a, and now it's, yeah, hey, now that they won, it's, you know, hey, yeah, it kind of gives validation about where you.
Yeah, I have a hard time operating under that condition of, you know, preemptively not saying, oh, it's not a big game. It's not a measuring stick game. It doesn't mean a lot. But if it goes in your favor, then yeah, that was a huge win.
So I asked the question to start the show, which was, how are we supposed to look at the Titans? Are we supposed to just worry about making the playoffs, get in, and then worry about everything else? Or now that they beat the best team in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, and I think the best team in the NFL, now that they beat them at home, and they are, I mean, you could tell the Titans are getting better. You know, Arizona skunked them, but I think that was so much, you know, a shot to the gut early on with how Arizona played in that game.
And I think we underestimated the Arizona Cardinals going into this season.
Oh, I think we underestimated.
Grossly underestimated the Arizona Cardinals.
And let me just take this moment for TD and everybody else out there. I mean, we talked, like, could this be Kyler's breakout year? And we talked about, you know, could you this, that? I mean, I was not a Kyler fan. I thought Kyler was going to be a bust when he was taken number one overall. And I just never saw it. And Kyler is in a great situation because they got a good defense. And he's got all kinds of receivers. He can ball now. I mean, he is playing some ball. So, and I watched that Cleveland game. Now, the defense, the Arizona defense never gets talked about. They're pretty good. But they can play some ball. But they did win this Bills game. And so I'm asking, do we look at the Titans through the lens of Super Bowl contender, which is you got to get the best seed possible. So instead of having to win four games like Monday night, you only have to win three games like Monday night. And two of them are at home. Which, even though, you know, in 50-50 crowds, the buzz in the city will be more, and it's harder to make plans ahead of time, you know, for visiting fans. So you have a much bigger Titans crowd. Home field advantage matters. You don't want to have to go to Arrowhead. You don't want to have to go back to Baltimore. You don't want to have to go to those places. And all the other things. Or is it just, as I was saying, you know, just make the playoffs and see where it goes from there?
I don't think it's just make the playoff and see where it goes from there, because the Titans, where it feels right now, and knock on all the wood, I don't want to jinx anything, the Titans are making the playoffs. They're in such a comfortable spot in the AFC South that it feels all but theirs, and it's just the Titans to lose. So I don't think it's just, okay, let's just do what we can to make the playoffs and then go from there. I think that with this team, you have to think seriously, and you have to think long term about their outlook and their plan for the playoffs. Are we going to let Derrick Henry go out there and get 30 touches a game, 150 yards in a game, when you know that you may have a few playoff games coming down the bend? So I think that the Titans right now have to start thinking about their long term plan now that the playoffs are a legitimate possibility.
I think the Titans,
and not even just the first round of the playoffs.
I think the Titans, and this is kind of a bigger question for us and how we should view the Titans, more so than how the Titans should view the Titans.
Okay.
I think the Titans need to start thinking long-term plan in 2 weeks. Call me in 2 weeks, because I will say this. If you win this week against the Chiefs and you win next week against Indianapolis, then the division's over. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no,
yeah.
And I don't want to sit there and say, like, there's no way it couldn't happen. I mean, I guess you could lose to the Patriots, and I guess you could lose to the Steelers, and I guess you could lose to
49ers. You could lose this 49ers. Indianapolis Colts game.
Well, there's no more Colts game after that. I'm talking about if you beat the Chiefs
after
the
Colts game. Okay.
Right. I mean, like, after that, you're kind of home free.
Yeah.
Indy's buried at that point. You have every tiebreaker you could need against them. You've got two games against the Texans. Like, you should, I mean, at that point, you win the next two games. Titans are 4-2 right now. That's 6. 2 games against the Texans, 8. Jacksonville, 9. You still got the Patriots. You still got the Saints. You still have the Steelers. I mean, like, now you win those two games. Now I think there is no more talk about making the playoffs in the division. All the talk starts turning to Baltimore, Buffalo,
Chargers,
Browns. You know, like, and I'm not one to root for injuries, but I'm seeing this stuff about Baker Mayfield may have to have surgery that takes him out for the year. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, if that happens, cross them off the list. See ya. Move on to the next. So I just wonder how we should feel about that. To your point about Derrick Henry toting the rock 5 million times, I am worried about it in 2 games. Call me in 2 games.
That's fair.
After the Indy game, the second Indy game, we'll reassess everything.
Get yourself comfortable.
There'll be 8 games in the books, which is normally halfway through a normal season, or a 16-game season. So they'll be almost halfway through, and they'll have the two Indy games, and we'll know what the division is at that point. And then we can talk about Derek. And then we can talk about what the Titans should do. I'm just saying about how we, the fans, should look at it. Should we be more worried about Baltimore? When I would cover the Patriots when I was in New Hampshire, all they ever talked about, they didn't care about Miami or Buffalo or the Jets. All they ever talked about was Denver, where Peyton Manning was, Baltimore, who had beaten them in the playoffs the year before, and any other team that could possibly trip up the Patriots on their way to a Super Bowl.
I don't think the Titans are in that same position as the Patriots when you were in New Hampshire. I think the Patriots were on a completely different level than the Titans are at right now. I think the Titans fans need to celebrate this Buffalo Bills win because it was so fun. The game was a blast. That's a huge win. You're sitting at 4-2. You have a comfortable spot in the AFC South, but I don't think the Titans are in any position to say we're not going to worry about any team. You know, you have the Houstons, you have the Jacksonvilles, games that, you know, you don't necessarily grimace at and fear, but I don't think the Titans are in any position to say, oh, we can just look past this Indianapolis Colts game.
I'm not talking about the Titans. I'm talking about us.
I'm saying, okay, Titans
and when,
fans.
And when I said New England.
I'm saying Titans fans.
And I was worried about this. When I said New England, you immediately turned it off like, well, you know, the Patriots just think they're better than everybody else. It's not that.
Well, they just, they weren't better than everyone
else. Their division was just, they weren't better than Denver. Like, they looked at, I mean, they were worried about Denver now. Denver beat them in the AFC title game. Baltimore beat them the year before in the AFC title game. They were worried about Peyton and the Broncos. That's what I'm saying. Like, are we more worried about Lamar and the Ravens than we are Wentz and the Colts? Are we going to be more worried?
Probably.
But, I mean, if you can't beat Wentz and the Colts, then it doesn't matter what happens with Lamar and the Ravens. So you almost have to say, okay, well, forget about the division. Move it on. Like, I'm ready to do that. You know, 2 weeks, we'll know for sure. I'm ready to do that now.
It's a little early.
I'm ready to be looking with a microscope at Baker Mayfield's shoulder in Cleveland to see what happens there. Cleveland's 3-3. I'm way more scared about Cleveland as a roadblock to the Titans than I am Indianapolis right now. And I say this, and in 2 weeks, if you lose to the Chiefs this week, which I think a lot of us think is possible that they could lose to the Chiefs, and then you lose to the Colts, then it's now I think you have to get back to worrying about the division, and you better win those Patriot games and Steeler games and Texan games and things like that. If not, we can start talking home field throughout. You know, there's the Ravens, there's the Chargers, there's you, there's the Bills. I'm not going to write the Chiefs off yet, even with three. They have three losses. I'm not even going to write the Chiefs off yet, and I'm trying to think who else could wiggle their way in there. Probably nobody else. So with that, let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike has been waiting patiently and is going to kick us off today on the phones. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey there. Just an observation. I was sitting in the end zone, and I don't know if you've noticed, it seems like our wide receivers, they're never split wide. It's like, I don't know if you guys have talked about this previously on the show, but even when they're put in motion, even if they start out side of the hash, they're always like 90% of the time, everyone's coming back sort of into a scrum. And if you watch Buffalo, I mean, it's just like they've got guys split the entire game. So everything like out in the flat, underneath. I mean,
Mike, what's the difference between your offense and Buffalo's offense?
Well, I get that. I understand philosophically it's a different deal, but it just seems to me when they.
Well, who does your offense have that Buffalo's offense doesn't have anybody in the zip code of?
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry.
Okay, thank you for your call, Mike. That's what that's about. Basically, what the Titans want you to do is they want you to bring everybody up the line of scrimmage. I actually talked to a buddy of mine who's a high school or who was a middle school and high school football coach and played in college and things like that. And we were talking about this yesterday, and he was telling me that when you load the box on Derrick Henry, you've got a really good shot of tackling him 2 yards forward, 3 yards forward. And how many of these carries does Derek get where it looks like there's a guy that is 2 yards in the backfield ready to tackle Derek, and somehow he just keeps those legs moving, and he picks up, you're shocked that he gets back to the line of scrimmage, and then he picks up three on top of it, and it's like, how did Derek get those three? It's really like a 7 yard gain, but it's only a 3 yard gain because of all the work that Derek has to do. But the thing is if everybody's bunched in tight, and they bunch their guys in tight, and you give the ball to Derek, and your guys block their guys, and Derek beats the one guy that he's got to beat, then he's gone. And that's what they're setting up for. That is what is in the best interest of Derek Henry. The Titans are never going to be a just spread it loose and let it go type of team. That's not how they play. I think that when they traded for Julio Jones, and Chris Sanders will join us later this hour, and this may be a good discussion for him. But when they traded for Julio Jones, I think fans got some idea in their head that all of a sudden this was going to be like the greatest show on turf with Marshall Faulk. And Marshall Faulk was an effective runner and a good runner, but he wasn't a guy who was carrying the ball 35 times a game for 150 yards. The Rams were good because they had Marshall Faulk, but they weren't wholly dependent upon Marshall Faulk. And I think there's a big difference there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get into your phones, your thoughts on where the Titans are now that, look, they beat Buffalo. And nobody was expecting them to beat Buffalo. We could talk about, well, they did this, they did that. Even though I will say, Chris and Mark both picked the Bills on the pregame show, or picked the Titans on the pregame show. As somebody who said, hey, I said they were going to lose to the Jets, I got to give Chris and Mark their due. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tonight as Nashville SC takes on Columbus at Nissan Stadium. Pregame starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Frustrated defense as much as anybody.
I think that that's something that's always a challenge when you play Patrick. And you know, we've played him a few times, and you know whether he drifts away from pressure or he seems to know where it's coming from. His ability to put it in spaces out in front of guys and man coverage, his anticipation. Really had played, turned the game around last year. You know, there was a long scramble right there before half. So, it would be important that not only we try to defend him when he throws it, is when he runs it as well.
That was Vrabel on Patrick Mahomes. I have an interesting Patrick Mahomes stat right now. You ready for it?
Ready for it.
If the playoffs started today, Mahomes would not be in the playoffs. The AFC playoffs, as of right now, the rankings, Ravens number one at 5-1, Chargers in the two slot at 4-2, and I don't know what the Chargers tiebreaker over the Titans is. I have no idea. Titans, 3 at 4-2, Buffalo, 4 at 4-2. Guess who the first wild card in the AFC is?
Cleveland.
Nope, they are not in the playoffs as of right now.
Pittsburgh.
They are the last team. They are 7. So they would play the Chargers in the first game. Steelers at Chargers would be a first-round matchup.
Is it Cincy or the Raiders?
Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals
no
would
way.
Go on the road to Buffalo. I expect that to change. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals would go to, where I assume he's the coach, would go to Buffalo, and the Raiders would come here to the Titans. I don't even know who the name of the coach of the Raiders. I can't even remember his name. Dave Sakatia or something like that?
Skiatika?
No, yeah, funny. let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Caroline Fenton on the text line.
Ben texts into the text line and says, expecting to make a run in the playoffs and only think about matchups with Baltimore, Buffalo, etc. would be a major overreaction to the narrow win over the Bills.
Would it, though? I mean, here's my thing. Right now, Indianapolis sits at 2-4. And you think about their schedule. They play the 49ers on Sunday Night Football this week. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a toss-up game. You know, I mean, the 49ers, Trey Lance, I think, is probably playing quarterback. Uh-huh. I don't like that. But the 49ers have a good defense and a good defensive line. The Colts do not have a good defense. No matter what anybody tells you, they're not good on defense. And so I believe, Ian, that game is in San Francisco.
But the Titans game?
No. Talking about the Colts game this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have to check on that.
So they play, their week 7 matchup is the 49ers, and again, I don't know if it's home or road for the Colts. But if the Colts lose that, and the Titans beat the Colts, at that point, you're looking at a 2-6 Indianapolis team, and the Titans would be
at least. It is in San Francisco.
So they got to go to San Francisco, beat the 49ers.
On Sunday Night Football.
Then they got the Titans, and so I'm just personally looking at this and thinking to myself that the next 2 weeks, Kansas City's a bonus game. You beat Kansas City, then you are going to try, then you're taking Indy out. But you don't beat Kansas City, then, you know, maybe there's a little work to do after you beat Indianapolis. But if you beat Indianapolis for a second time, Indianapolis is probably done. I mean, they are probably at that point so far in your rearview mirror.
if the Titans do beat the Chiefs, the risk of a hangover makes me a little bit nervous.
Oh, then I'll spend the whole week putting the pressure on Vrabel. And we should all spend an entire week putting the pressure on Vrabel. I mean, the thing about playing on a Monday night, and they did this a couple years ago, where they went to Dallas, and Dallas was good. They beat Dallas on a Monday night. Kevin Byard, I don't know if you remember, intercepted a ball in the end zone and ran to the star and did the TO, and Vrabel was pissed. And so they beat the Cowboys on Monday night. They have a short week. They play the Patriots here. Mm-hmm. And that was the Corey Davis game, where Mariota and Corey Davis went absolutely nuts on Stephon Gilmore. I've never seen anything like it in my life. You know, it's one thing to do it on Breon Borders and Jackrabbit Jenkins. It's another thing to do it on Stephon Gilmore. And they were able to keep their focus on Indianapolis. In fact, somebody told me that that week of practice on Wednesday, Vrabel had like implemented like a Vrabel and Dean Pease had implemented like a new defense for the Patriots, which they knew the Patriots pretty well. And that as they were building that defense on Wednesday and Thursday, it was like at practice, there's no way that this is going to work. Then on Friday, it was like, they might be getting the hang of it. And then on Sunday, it worked. So I think the Titans are going to have to focus this week and not get too caught up in the Buffalo win because they know who's on Sunday. And we all know that, you know, Kansas City's not Kansas City right now, but they can come in here and hang 55 points pretty quickly. The question would be if they win those two games, would they be able to turn it around on Monday and Wednesday and get their focus fully on the Colts? I think they would simply because it's the Colts. Like, this is the only other team that has a just sliver of a hope in competing with you in this division, and you can take them out.
You win this game, it is signed, sealed, delivered playoffs.
You would think. So, to me, I feel like you've got to, like, talking about me personally, and you, the fans, have to put the pressure on Vrabel to make sure that those heads are not in those rear ends come Colts time if they beat the Chiefs. Scott is up next on the Titan Corners. Thank you for calling the show. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, Jared. I would have expected us to try to do something now, by now, beyond practice level or practice squad level players at quarterback or other teams' practice squad players. I mean, I know we're not going to be able to go out and get us an all-pro cornerback for a sack of magic beans, but
although Carolina did just do that like a week ago.
Well, we need to do something because, I mean, I really don't see the point in making the playoffs and getting the number one schedule if you're going to have practice-level guys lining up for you at corner in the playoffs. I mean, I know hopefully Fulton will be back by then. But
so, Scott, I'm going to be real with you, and I appreciate your call. This is the situation the Titans find themselves in. You know, this is the, like, if you've ever been in that scenario, I was telling Caroline a story about when I worked in women's basketball and our point guard got hurt. And the coach didn't even really see a future for this freshman point guard that we had on our roster. But we didn't have a point guard. So even though coach had been really hard on her and was trying to push her to kind of be a good player, even though he had done that, didn't really see much there. Well, now guess what? You're in. Like, that's how it works. That's where the Titans are at corner. They took the risk on the injured guy. He got injured. So, he's out. They, you know, Fulton's injured right now. That will be big when Fulton comes back. But, I mean, Chris Jackson's a seventh-round pick. Floyd thought that Chris Jackson was a safety. When they were playing him at corner last year, he was like, I like him as a safety. And once I heard that, that bell is never unrung. To me, Chris Jackson is a safety who plays corner. The other night, I forget who it was that went down. It might have been Jackson. Went out of the game. I'm looking down on the sideline to see who they can put in the game. And Dane Cruikshank's running out there. And my buddy turns to me and goes, three safeties? I go, I don't think they have another defensive back. Like, I think at that point, it's like if you run out of receivers, Ferkser's out there. Like, that's your option. And that's where they were. Yeah, they had Kari Blasingame blocking and pass protection in passing situations because Jeremy McNichols got hurt. So that's just kind of, this is where they are at corner. And I'm with you. Like, I'm with you all the callers. Like, guess what? Vrabel was talking about that Patrick Mahomes scramble in the playoffs. It was Tremaine Brock Sr., a journeyman who had been cut by Arizona, who freaking sucked, who who tried to take the ball out of Mahomes' arms instead of tackle him short of the marker that allowed Mahomes to score the touchdown. Guess what on Sunday? You may not be playing with Tremaine Brock Sr., but you're going to have a lot of Tremaine Brock Sr.'s out there. Chris Sanders will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' win and the Chiefs and where they are. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, CSP at 102.5 The Game. Hey, be sure to check out the Game of the Week presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, Eagles and Raiders kick off at 3:05 on ESPN 94.9. Ian noted, and I haven't looked at the full week slate of games, but Ian has noted that there are almost no good games this weekend in the NFL. Why are Titans Chiefs at noon? Like, shouldn't that be? I mean, the Titans have made the playoffs 2 years in a row. 2 years ago, this was the AFC Championship game. You got Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes. Why is that game at noon? No disrespect to the Eagles and the Raiders, but, like, that's a late kickoff? Dallas must be playing somebody with popular fans that aren't any good.
Let's see who Dallas is playing.
They're on their bye. Dak's hurt.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Yep.
Chris Sanders joins us now on the program, former Titans receiver. Chris and Mark picked the Titans on the pregame show to win on Monday night. They did. Chris, your thoughts on the Titans after they won the game on Monday night?
You know, just a resilient team. And I know everybody's talking about Henry and A.J. Brown, but I take my hat off, you know, to the offensive line. The reason I take my hat off to them, you had LeJuan go out, you had Jones, Davis, and Saffold, and Quisenberry going against a stout, you know, a front four. And what they did that whole night was incredible. They had zero sacks. They kept Tannehill clean. And on that 76-yard run, it was physicalness. When I say those guys were physical, guys and bodies were flying everywhere. So even though we're talking about Henry having 143 yards on 20 carries and talking about those guys, but in the trenches, man, I am so stinking proud of that offensive line because they were physical. They were hitting them in the mouth. Even though they had adversity towards them, man, just one of the best offensive line displays I've seen with the Tennessee Titans this year.
What do you make of the fact that the Titans went in there, and we know the Titans were hurt in the secondary and got hurt throughout the course of the game. And Buffalo, I mean, Buffalo made some mistakes, but this is the NFL. The Titans played their game. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, any team that plays the Titans, number one scoring defense in the league, Buffalo, third against the rush. Anybody who plays the Titans knows Derrick Henry's getting the ball, and they still were able to play their game, and they took it to Buffalo. What'd you make of that?
Man, they just trust the process. And let's start with defense first. You know, the reason why they were successful in winning on defense is because Landry and David Long Jr., those two guys were flying everywhere. You know, Landry had two sacks. You had David Long that had 14 tackles. He was flying around everywhere. So even though, you know, the Buffalo Bills on offense had made some plays on the perimeter, they still were getting after Josh Allen. And if you look at Josh Allen's body language, his body language is like, what the heck did I get myself into? So it just shows you that the Tennessee Titans were putting a lot of pressure on him. And then let's flip at the offense. The offense, you know, they were slow a little bit at the beginning, but they stayed with Henry. You know, A.J. Brown made some big catches on third down. So even though they faced adversity on offense and defense, they trust the process, and they stay with it to the end.
Chris, what do you make of all the injuries for the Titans? LeJuan is in the concussion protocol.
Right.
I don't even know who's available on defense. There's a short week. They're playing the Chiefs. What do you make of the injury situation right now? And there's another one to throw in there. I saw it at the game. I don't know if TV highlighted it enough, but late in the game, Julio was running on the field, and he was gimpy. You know, he was gimpy and stretching out on the field, and I think he's still hurt. What do we make of the injury situation surrounding the Titans?
I mean, it's tough because every team has injuries, but I think with the Tennessee Titans, I know we say this all the time, and it sounds cliche, is we say next man up. Yes, the next man up, but the mentality never changes. The mentality is I got to do my job. The mentality is I got to make plays, and I just got to do my job. I think the one thing that's going to be hurting a little bit is the cornerback situation is because Jack Rabbit Jenkins is struggling. You got Chris Jackson has been hurt. You got Fulton is hurt. You got a lot of defensive backs that are not may not even play in the game. So the one thing they're going to have to do is they're going to still have the same mindset. But Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, is going to have to make sure that he puts these guys in position to not fail. So even though it relies on the players to make plays and it relies on them to make sure they do their job, but at the end of the day, I think the pressure is going to, you know, be on Shane Bowen because he's got to make sure he put those guys in the right defense and not go cover zero and going against Tyreek Hill and Hardeman and Kelsey and all those guys. So I think it relies on Shane Bowen.
So I'm going to ask you a question, Chris Sanders with us, that is more about my feel watching the games than it is anything I can point to statistically. And I'm sure that there are stats out there that either support it or deny it, and you can say whatever you want. Tannehill doesn't look the same to me. And I had a veteran coach who knows the Titans pretty well who told me, hey, Arthur is what resurrected Tannehill's career. That Tannehill did a lot of good things, and he did a lot of bad things, and Arthur was able to maximize the good things and minimize the bad things. And I'm not knocking Downing here, but I think we all know Arthur was a pretty good offensive coach. And I'm watching Tannehill, and I saw the interception he threw the other night, and he really was average to below average for the first three quarters of the game. He had a nice fourth quarter, but it just doesn't – Tannehill, last year Tannehill was the boss man out there.
Right,
he doesn't feel that way to me watching the games. How do you see Tannehill right now?
Right now he just looks uncomfortable in the pocket sometimes, and as being a quarterback going for any quarterback, if you're consistently getting hit, and you're consistently getting hit from the blind side, and you fumble three or four times – you're going to focus so much to try to protect the football. And I think that sometimes he wants to make the right read, which you do, that his eyes are not looking at your second and third read. Because if you look at that interception that he threw to Poyer, he's staring down the receiver. And if you're staring down the receiver, you're so cautious of not making the mistake. So I just think if he just relaxes and plays like he did last year and have that confidence, I'm not saying he doesn't have confidence, but I just think he needs to go out there and feel easy, you know, being in the pocket. And I think the reason why he may not feel easy in the pocket is because he doesn't know if he's going to get hit or he's going to get a strip sack and all those things. So those are the things that he's probably thinking in his mind. But at the end of the day, he's got to stand in there, take some shots, and deliver the ball as opposed to fumbling and making interceptions.
What do you think about the wide receivers? AJ playing with food poisoning, yeah. Got IV'd up, had a nice night. The other guys, Westbrook, Akina stepping up at right. points in the game. And we brought up, you know, Julio looks injured right now. What do we make of all the receivers?
I mean, they're just a solid group. I mean, they're solid right now. I'm kind of disappointed that Josh Reynolds not in there. You like that guy, don't you? But
your guy.
Yeah, but they play solid, and they may not have the big numbers. I know, Brown had nine catches for 91. I can't remember, but guys are making plays at the right time. They may not make explosive plays down the field, but they're making plays that make the difference. And when I say make the difference, I mean when it's third and five or third and six, they're coming up with a first down and keeping the chains moving. So even though the numbers might not be glaring, and everyone's like, oh, he's not taking the top off the defense, oh, he's not catching the deep route, but they're moving the chains, and I think that Tannehill has confidence in those three guys you just named.
So I'm worried about Julio, Chris.
I am.
But at the same time, like I need to give Julio full marks because I haven't heard anything behind the scenes about Julio being a bad teammate or Julio not wanting to practice or anything like that here. And you could tell Julio was gutting it out Monday night. He was hurt. Now, I'm worried that Julio is hurt and that Julio is going to be hurt. And when you're paying $15 million in a second-round pick for a guy, you're expecting an explosive, good player.
True.
Julio's done his part gutting it out. I'm worried, though, about the injury. How do you feel about Julio?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's just something that you can't control. And I agree with you 100%. I know sometimes we give Julio, a bad rap sometimes. And just watching him try to gut it out for his team, I give him mad props for that. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a good hamstring or you don't have a good wheel or you don't have a good ankle or whatever, and it doesn't allow you to play, you're going to start to get frustrated. And I just think that he's just got to stay with it and get his body healthy and come back at the right time. Maybe comes back in the playoffs when the Tennessee Titans make the playoffs and comes back and shine. But I just think that he can't get frustrated and start blaming the coach and doing all those things. He just got to trust the process. Number one is getting healthy. Number two is going out there and trying to make plays for the Tennessee Titans.
Do you think he'll ever get healthy?
Champ, I don't know because now let's just say if you're a young buck, when you're saying you're in your 22s, it's easier to come back from hamstring. But when you're older, up in years, you've been in the league for a long time, sometimes it takes a longer process to heal. And I just think that, I know the trainers are doing their job. I know they're doing everything they need to do to get him back on the field. But at the end of the day, when you're up in age, it takes a long time for you to heal your body. So, that's the thing that you struggle with. That's going to be tough. But he's just going to have to figure a way to gut it out. And I know we can say he can gut it out, but you got to understand, when you have a hamstring, you can't have that explosive. You can deal with an ankle, but you can't do it with a hamstring.
Chris, I know that nobody loves the Titans more than you. They may love them as much, but not more than you love the Titans. You were vehemently disappointed when the Titans drafted Caleb Farley in the first round on the draft show that night. I am not sure I've ever heard you that disappointed when they picked Caleb Farley. Now, he was dealing with a back injury at the time, but since then, he's had the back injury, the shoulder injury, a foot injury, and now a torn ACL. I mean, look, Mariota was kind of the same way, where Mariota had the quad, Mariota had the hamstring, Mariota had the elbow, Mariota had the broken leg. Some guys are just injury prone, Chris. It looks like Farley's that way. What do you make of his latest injury?
I mean, it's a tough deal, but I think that, you know, and I'm not never ever going to disrespect the Titans. I know they did their homework to try to find out, but sometimes you got to look, okay, how was he in high school? How was he in college? And how is he now? And when you go back to college, you got to remember last year, the year before, he hurt his back. The year before that, he hurt his knee. So that's telling you that something is where he's injury prone. And that's something that you can't control. I know he's not going out to say, well, I'm going to get hurt. But it's just something that, you know, if you consistently get hurt in college, a lot of times when you get to the pros, that's not going to change. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now. I mean, talking to that guy, I mean, he's trying to work hard to get back. But at the end of the day, if you're consistently getting hurt in college, you're going to consistently get hurt in the pros.
Last thing for you, Chris, your thoughts on Kansas City Sunday.
This scares me a little bit, but I think the Tennessee Titans will win. And the reason why I say it scares me a little bit is because the Kansas City Chiefs are in the exact same position we were last week. They're saying their offense is struggling, their defense is terrible. They, you know, everything is against them. So now they're coming in here, and everybody's probably going to say there's no way they can beat the Titans, and they're going to show the world that they can beat them. That's the only thing that I'm concerned of. But I think the Tennessee Titans 31, Kansas City Chiefs 28.
There you go, Chris Sanders. As always, Chris, appreciate you. We'll talk
appreciate
on Sunday
you,
for the pregame show.
Thank you, man. Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Chris Sanders joining us on the program. Chris is obviously the nicest guy in the world. You see, that tells you, Chris went nuts when the Titans took Farley in the first round.
He was not pleased.
And you see how much he loves the Titans. He's like, Sunday, oh, I think we're going to win. You know, I mean, nobody loves the Titans like Chris Sanders does. Coming up next, I do want to hit on the Farley injury. And you heard what Chris just said right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do have to question somebody with the Titans. And people aren't going to want to hear it, but I do think it needs to be said. We'll get to that coming up next. NFL Week 7 is upon us, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week, and Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Browns and Broncos. This is an interesting one because Baker's got the injury, and how's he going to feel? And Teddy has played okay, but the Broncos aren't very good, so I don't know. I mean, I am stumped on how to bet the same game parlay here with this one, but surely you all are experts and know exactly what to do. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay, so lock your bet in today. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up with the promo code JGM to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on Sunday afternoon's game between Houston and Arizona. Win $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.